Hola, ¿cómo estás? Espero que todo esté bien contigo. This is Tamara Marie, host of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. I wanted to ask you a quick question before we get started with this episode. Do you have trouble hearing and understanding native Spanish speakers? Whether you've been learning Spanish for 2 weeks or 2 years, it can be a struggle to really understand the fast pace of Spanish spoken by native speakers. So if that's you, don't worry, I got you. I have developed a method that will help you understand 80% of spoken Spanish in less than 30 minutes. This method will help you improve your ability to hear and understand native Spanish speakers so you can increase your listening comprehension and shed your fear of being afraid to start a conversation. You know, a lot of times we don't want to talk to someone in Spanish because we're afraid that when they talk back, we're not going to understand what they say. So we really need to get after that fear by improving our Spanish listening skills. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'd love to share it with you. I'm providing access to this masterclass absolutely free so that you can learn how to improve your Spanish listening skills. If you want to sign up, just go to SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. That's SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Now, we're only going to have this masterclass available for a limited time, so make sure you sign up today if you want to get access, SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Okay, let's get to this episode of the podcast. Before you book your next flight to a Spanish-speaking country, you definitely don't want to miss this conversation with Jamar Black. Jamar left his job as a technical writer in Washington, D.C. to move to Cali, Colombia. He talks about how he managed to get a $5 flight to Colombia and he hasn't looked back since. He also shares his top recommendations for what you should do to prepare yourself before you embark on complete immersion in a Spanish-speaking country. I hope you enjoy this latest installment in our Black Expat series. Así que vamos a empezar. Let's get started.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast, the show for Spanish learners that love music, travel, and culture. Close your grammar textbooks, shut down the language apps, and open your ears to how Spanish is spoken in the real world. Let us show you how to go from beginner to bilingual. Here is your host, certified language coach, Tamara Marie.
Hola y bienvenidos al episodio 101. Welcome to episode 101 of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. In this latest installment of our Black Expat series, we are going to explore the nation of Colombia in South America. I have a conversation with Jamar Black. He is a teacher and also a tour guide for Hola Cali in the country and the city where he lives right now in Cali, Colombia. Jamar shares how he overcame the frustration of being the only non-native Spanish speaker in a conversation and not understanding what was happening around him. He also gives the steps that he took when he moved to Colombia and even before he moved there to prepare himself to live in an environment where there just aren't many English speakers. He also talks about some of the different Colombian Spanish accents, and he shares some Caleño Spanish terms that you definitely won't find in Google Translate. So with that, I hope you enjoy part one of my conversation with Jamar Black. Hola, Jamar. Bienvenido a Spanish con Salsa. Welcome to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to join me. I know that I found you on Instagram or somewhere on Facebook in a discussion about, you know, what it was like to be Black living in Colombia. So I thought you'd be perfect to have on the podcast because I have listeners always asking me, you know, I've been thinking about moving abroad. You know, should I move? Should I take the jump? So I'm doing this whole series with Black expats to really find out what are the differences for moving and living abroad when you are a person of African descent, because it is a little bit different, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately, than it is if you are from a different background. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the podcast. And to start out, could you just sort of introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about you?
Yes. So my name is Jamar. I go by the Afro Expat on Instagram, where I try to focus on like educational material, sometimes activism, and mostly authentic experiences and content and advice about living in another country, specifically in Colombia, since this is where I'm based. I'm originally from North Carolina. I spent some time in Washington, D.C. as well, about 6 years. But Colombia showed up on my radar shortly after completing a study abroad program and moving to Washington, D.C. So everything just seemed to be connected and landed. Yeah, I'm here in Cali, Colombia, and I'm a teacher. I teach 7th and 8th grade at a private school here, and I also am a collaborator of Hola Cali, a co-founder actually. Hola Cali is like a resource for people who are looking for information in English about Cali when they come here. So I run that with a friend of mine from Canada. And focusing on at the Afro expat nowadays, I want to like connect with other expats and people who are interested in moving abroad.
Wow, so you sound like you are pretty busy, right? You have a lot going on down there in Cali.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep myself busy.
I'm curious, though, because you said you're from North Carolina. So, you know, being from the U.S., I think we all have had that experience where, you know, at some point in school, someone tells you that you have to pick a foreign language as an elective. And usually, you know, for most people that I hear, in my experience as well, is that the way language is taught in school is not always the best way and usually doesn't result in you being fluent in the language. So I'm sure, you know, moving to Colombia, you have to, you know, be able to get by in Spanish. So could you talk a little bit about how you started language learning, how you learned Spanish in preparation for your move to Colombia? Because I imagine that the language barrier is probably a really big factor for a lot of people who think about moving abroad, and especially listeners of this podcast who are already trying to learn Spanish and really want to become fluent.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Like before moving to Colombia, I didn't consider how the language barrier might impact, you know, my life here. But it's not until you're fully immersed and, you know, you're still trying to learn. But, you know, it's kind of stuck in a place where you're around native speakers and you don't always understand. So, like, you know, it's definitely a process. For me, my steps to learning Spanish were basically like having basic knowledge. Like I had something to build off of. By the time I was in high school, you could either choose Spanish or French, and I just chose Spanish because that's what I was already on the trajectory of. So yeah, like having that basic knowledge for me before moving here, like even knowing how to say hola or introduce myself, just because it was like second nature to have like, you know, some basic phrases, basic words that you know. And from there, I think I always had like an inclination to like, or curiosity to like want to learn new words, just because I always had that basic knowledge. But I've always struggled with listening comprehension because, like you said, in schools, they don't really teach you how to, you know, listen for like dialects or that there's different accents and things like that. So for me, like listening comprehension has always been a struggle. I would say another point would be like a willingness to speak and make mistakes, because that for me has helped me a lot, because I think that I don't worry so much about being correct or being corrected, because I kind of like look forward to being corrected, if anything, so that I can like kind of make a note of it, so I can not make that same mistake, even though I constantly make the same mistakes. You know, you also have to understand that it's a process. You know, I remember being the only native speaker sometimes, like getting upset because I didn't understand like what everybody was talking about. Now that I understand more, like years later, like I just understand it's a process and it takes time, so that kind of keeps me grounded. And then also, like I would say, like just being fully immersed in the culture here has helped me, because like when I first started, you know, communicating with people, it was like via text messages, and I relied heavily on like reading and writing because that was like my strong points. Yeah, like having friends, like native Spanish speaking friends to message with, and like I like naturally gravitate towards Google Translate, even though I know the translations aren't, you know, 100% correct, and that like was sometimes taken out of context. Paying attention to words and synonyms and things like that, just making notes whenever I'm translating text messages from WhatsApp, keeping my subtitles on for Netflix, even if I'm not listening in Spanish, like which I shouldn't, since my listening comprehension is not the best. I normally like keep the subtitles on in Spanish and listen in English, just so I can like continue building that vocabulary. And then like I've also changed, I go back and forth changing my telephone in Spanish and English. But I think by seeing words that you see every day in English, and then recognizing them also in Spanish can help. But yeah, those are my three things, like having a basic knowledge, willingness to speak and make mistakes, and like immerse yourself as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's some of the things you mentioned in terms of immersion are things you can do before you even travel or move. Like you mentioned switching the language on your phone. You know, it's a lot of things. I know that's a thing a lot of people try. And, you know, I always tell people, make sure you know the word for language, idioma, before you do that so that you could always switch it back. If you get lost, you don't want to wipe your phone clean. But yeah, I think some of those things are things we could start to do even before, even if like right now, you know, travel is not as physical as it has been in the past for a number of reasons. So people might be thinking, well, how do I do immersion if I can't go and do a homestay with a family for, you know, 3 months right now? Well, you can do some things. I remember I had a friend and we would always text back and forth in Spanish. When we met, I was speaking to him in English and he says, well, wait a minute. I thought you were like a native speaker based on like our texting. What did you want to talk to me in Spanish? And I think it's, you know, it's a good start to be able to think like you're in a conversation to get that texting in. And also because you have that lag time, right, you can actually sit and read like the WhatsApp message and translate it. So it's like sort of real time, but it's like a delay, right? You have that time. I think that can prepare you to think through a conversation so that when you get to that point where you feel comfortable and like you said, not being afraid to make those mistakes, that kind of just going through that sort of back and forth and having to like translate those basic things like, oh, wait a minute, or no, oh, I can't hear you, your phone's breaking up, like stuff like that that we don't think about because it's not like really in a textbook anywhere, that you learn those things, you get comfortable with those things as you start to have some of those interactions. So I think those are some great tips. And I also would throw in, I would encourage people to use the voice note feature if you're using WhatsApp or any of these language exchange apps. Don't punk out and just do text. Like you can use voice notes and that'll give you time to listen. So I think for listening comprehension, that also helps because people tend to leave like these short messages and then you can kind of listen to them over and over again. So that's something that can also help you ease in the conversation. So
repetition is key, I think. Having the ability to like, for instance, like for me, like with the writing, being able to see that and having it saved there is the same concept with the voice messages, like you said, like being able to go back and listen as many times as you need to until you start to hear what is supposed to be said. I mean, I think having captions like of like what's being said as you're listening is always very helpful. I find that Netflix sometimes doesn't always have the exact translation because I think that's those translations come from Spain most of the time, and like let's say you're in Latin America where they speak completely differently, you might not pick up exactly what's being said.
Well, tell me a little bit about that because you mentioned dialects, and that's something that I also, you know, focus a lot on in the podcast and then just in the courses that, you know, we provide, because I focus a lot on learning Spanish through music, but with that comes all of the culture and all of the different dialects that are spoken in all these different countries, because they are, you know, pretty different. You know, Spanish is Spanish, yes, but there are definitely variations not only in vocabulary but also in accent and intonation that can make it more difficult to understand spoken Spanish, especially if you're not used to that particular accent. So for you, before you moved to Colombia, had you been exposed to other dialects of Spanish that you were more comfortable with, or did you find any differences in traveling and then ultimately when you moved to Colombia to hear how Spanish was spoken there?
Well, let me give you a little bit of context in terms of like how long I've been speaking Spanish and like on this journey. So like in 2014 was my first time moving here. I can say when I came in 2014, I never had any types of exposure to like when it comes to like speaking with natives, like or anything like that. Like there was nothing that I found familiar. I think that I had Spanish teachers that came from like Spain. I had one from Spain and then some were like African American. Like I think that maybe if anything, Mexican Spanish or Spanglish would be recognizable just so I could hear how the words pronunciated. Like for instance, like in Colombia, you have so many different accents just within Colombia and the North Coast and the Caribbean coast, they speak very, very fast. Like they say, like people from the South speak fast. Like, I think that's around the same comparison to how Spanish is spoken there. So, like even the Colombians that I know here in Cali in this region, like they can't understand people who are costeños or people from the coast. So, I also have like when I travel there, I have a hard time understanding those dialects. But now that I've been in Cali in this region, like for so long. It's been going on 6 years now. I have their heritage, which is like slang. I've learned how to use different idioms that they use, and like sometimes I surprise people who didn't expect this understand Spanish, because I'm like, I speak the dialect of Spanish from this region. But when it comes to listening to people from other regions, sometimes I have a hard time. I think that people in Bogota, they have the like clear Spanish, so that I tend to understand them more.
You know, and I think one of the things that you mentioned that I think is really important is that there are native Spanish speakers that are in Cali who have trouble understanding people from the coast. And I think that's encouraging, because as language learners, I think we expect perfection, or at least I'll speak for myself as a recovering perfectionist. It's like, we think, okay, I'm supposed to understand 100% of everything I hear 100% of the time, and if I don't, I'm not fluent, right? And setting the bar that high is not only putting, you know, hard on yourself or putting pressure on yourself, but it's also just not realistic, right? I mean, everybody is from somewhere, and I'm from the East Coast of the U.S. Now, there are certain things that people say in the Deep South or on the West Coast that I don't understand, right? Because there are terms that they might use that I'm not familiar with. So I think, you know, using that standard in Spanish is, I think, a little bit unfair. So I like that you mentioned that, and also that you have that awareness that you are really comfortable with that one specific dialect in Cali, because that's what you've been exposed to, right? Which is the same thing that happens with native speakers as well. So hopefully that's encouraging to folks who are feeling like, oh, I don't understand this particular thing or that thing. Well, no, I always encourage people to get familiar with that one dialect or one accent and just be comfortable with that and let that be your home base, because otherwise, it's very difficult to improve your listening comprehension, because you're trying to understand everyone. And that's, I think, a difficult task to undertake. So,
yeah. And don't compare yourself to native speakers. Like, too, I think that also puts pressure on you to, like, try to, like, categorize yourself as somebody who's, like, you know, fluent or, you know, beginner. Like, I never thought of myself in that way when I'm speaking in Spanish. And like you said, like, I've always been the type to, like, focus on just like that one dialect that I know, and then like the more you get comfortable with that dialect, you'll start to understand other accents. For instance, like for me, I can distinguish the Venezuelan accent very easily, because like, one, it's hard for me to understand, two, like they have like a distinct rhythm when they speak. Yeah, I think that always having like that ground or that basic knowledge of that one dialect is key.
Okay, and since you mentioned that you have picked up some of the dialect from Cali, because I have not been to Cali, so what's one of your favorite phrases or idioms that you picked up since you've been there?
Listo apoyo is what they say whenever they're ready. Like, oh, listo. Like, normally it's like listo. It's like when you're ready, but then they'll like just throw in listo apoyo. It's just like it's very like caleño. Bendito sea Dios, alabado sea su santo nombre. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So that's like what I understood that to be. Like, you know, just talking to my partner, like, we speak Spanish only, primarily. Like, I get a lot of different idioms from speaking with him. Me sacas de quicio, you get on my nerves. No se vaya por las ramas, don't beat around the bush. So yeah, all those, I have like a whole list, I'm not gonna go over all of them, but like, it's interesting because like you'll try to do the direct translation or whatever in Google or whatever translator you use, and like you get something completely different. But like you,
oh yeah,
when somebody speaks to you and you get the context of what they're saying, like, oh, you can kind of like then translate it from English, like from your own understanding of the context.
Yeah, context is very important. I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because I think one of the things that usually confuses people when they're trying to translate, even if you're using a good source, not Google Translate, sorry. It has gotten better over the years, but it's not my go-to. But if you use even a good dictionary, if you don't have the full context, it can be difficult even then to translate. So I always recommend that people, if you get a translation that doesn't make sense, when you put everything in and it's translating word for word, then try to put it in as a whole phrase and see if you're able to get a better translation. Because I think that, you know, none of the apps are perfect. Nothing's ever is going to be as good as a human being, you know, thinking through that. But yeah, but sometimes you can make sure you have the phrases in there. But even then, you know, you don't always find everything in the generic dictionary. So that's been one of my ongoing struggles with Spanish, and also why I spent so much time delving into the dialects and talking about them so that people get that exposure and realize that there is this huge diversity in what's called, quote unquote, Latin American Spanish, but it's actually so many different countries and cultures. So I'm curious, how is it that you from North Carolina to DC area, how did you decide to move to Cali of all places, not just, Colombia, but Cali specifically? And how was that process for you?
So I went to UNC Wilmington. That does not have a large amount of black students, let alone any black students, many black students that were studying abroad during that time. I happened to have a roommate in college that wanted to go to South Africa and was like, oh, we should go to South Africa. During the time, my mom had been recently ill, and I was not really trying to go too far away where I wouldn't be able to be in reach of her. I opted for a program to go to Finland for 2 months, study abroad program in human sciences. And in Finland, I chose Finland because it was free education. Basically, all I had to pay for was my transportation and my lodging while I was there. So I did the economical short option. But then from there, that's when my travel bug started. So my school heard about me being a black male going abroad in Finland. So they offered me a scholarship through the Ralph Bunche Scholarship in conjunction with another scholarship from the State Department, Gilman Scholarship. I was able to go to South Africa and spend 6 months abroad. By that time, my mom was already in a better condition, so I didn't have any problems leaving. Through that scholarship, Ralph Bunche, after coming back from South Africa, I went directly to D.C., not by choice, because I kind of missed my flight on the way back from South Africa, going through Barcelona, and ended up having to get some help from my grandma, who ended up buying me a ticket to where she was, which was in D.C. So I landed in D.C., started my career from there as a technical writer, but also had Ralph Bunche in mind, because as I was trying to start my career, I knew Ralph Phelps Stoke, which was also a part of Ralph Bunche Society. So I had them in mind as a recent scholar that maybe they could help me find a job or help me find opportunities. So I ended up volunteering while I was in D.C. for a Latino youth project that was connected with Phelps Stokes, Ralph Bunche. While I was doing that, that was my first time ever getting an inkling of Colombia, because one of the organizers that were on an excursion with the kids, one day was telling me, maybe one day, I think he said he was from Choco. He said, maybe one day you come to Colombia, go to Choco. It's a department of mostly black people. I had never heard of Colombia. He was on my map at that time. But he just mentioned that, since you're a writer, maybe you can go to Colombia and write one day. And I just always had that in the back of my mind. Meanwhile, I'm working in D.C. As a technical writer. As soon as I got back from South Africa, I was looking for the first way possible to travel again. So I started looking into jobs as a flight attendant or working for an airline, because I wanted to get those benefits. So I had that on my radar. I got a job as a part-time job as a data agent, stayed working with U.S. Airways for 3 years. So I was always back and forth, taking these short trips when I could, when I had time off, for cheap. I think I went to Israel for $40 round trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I ended up getting exhausted, though, with the political climate and everything that was going on. I think that Trayvon was 2012. I think that's when we first started getting this big wave of violence against black people all over again, since Rodney King. I don't think we've heard of it that intensely. So that was in the news, and I think that I was just kind of just exhausted and feeling like I'm a little abroad again. So I had a friend that had lived in Cali. I was curious about Colombia, and just in the nick of time when I was getting laid off of both of my jobs, an email came through saying, inviting me to teach English with Atlas Course.
I hope you enjoyed part one of my conversation with Jamar. And if you want to get in touch with him, you can reach out to him on Instagram at the Afro Expat. Make sure that you're subscribed to this podcast if you want to hear part two of our conversation next week. Jamar talks about safety in Colombia and how Americans are treated by the police. And he also talks a little bit about the cost of living and the nightlife in Cali. So make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you'll be the first to know when we release our episode next Tuesday. So with that, I hope that something you've heard has helped you go one step closer from Spanish beginner to bilingual. See you next week. Hasta la próxima.
Thank you for listening to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast at learnspanishconsalsa.com.